Good evening, Ibrahim, Angelic Panda said with a welcoming smile. Good evening, my dear. Merlin bent over her hand once again, kissing it gallantly. Maybe one reason I think of myself as Merlin instead of Nemu, he thought, is that Nemu was never interested in other women. Merlin, on the other hand... He set that consideration aside once more, although he really wasn't sure whether it was legitimately a case of Merlin being interested in other women, or of Merlin being interested in the opposite sex, whichever sex that happened to be at the moment, or of Merlin having discovered something about himself that Nemu had never suspected about herself, or simply of Merlin finding something else to worry about that wouldn't have mattered to anyone else on the entire planet. I'm glad you could join us this evening, Angelic continued. Although I'm afraid company is going to be a bit sparse on a night like this. I'm not surprised, Merlin cocked his head, listening to the wind howl keen around the eaves of Angelic's townhouse. The temperature outside was 8 degrees below zero, 8 Fahrenheit degrees below zero, and still falling. The wind was gusting to speeds of almost 40 miles per hour, too, and Merlin was grimly aware that even as he stood in the comfortable warmth of Angelic's townhouse, men and women, yes, and their children, were freezing to death, literally, outside it. He knew about the gardener's shed on Angelic's grounds and about the 4 poor families who had moved into it this winter. He knew how she'd weatherproofed it, the way she did every winter. How she'd made sure there was enough coal for the ceramic stove she'd had installed. And he knew how, despite her best efforts, the members of those families were huddled together, sharing body warmth as well as the life-giving heat of that stove. They would be cold, stiff, and miserable, and he doubted any of them would really sleep, as violently as they were shivering. Yet, in the morning, unlike all too many of the poor huddled for warmth around the waste heat vents of the temple's environmental system, they'd be alive. And she knows exactly what's going on out there, Merlin thought, looking at his hostess's smiling face. The same woman who's gone to such lengths to give them the chance to survive, who's organized Wilson's communications, and hidden those families of refugees somewhere here in Zion, is smiling and laughing as if she doesn't have a care in the world. He felt his admiration click up another notch, and he tucked her hand into the bend of his elbow and escorted her across the sitting room to one of the buffet tables. A servant offered him a plate piled high with choice delicacies, rolls of ham, thin slivers of rare beef, breast of wyvern and chicken, spider shrimp, olives, deviled eggs, pickles, cheese, bread. There was enough food on the table to feed the people huddled in Angelic's gardener's shed for at least a month, he reflected. And on any given morning, he knew that was precisely where the leftovers from the previous evening's buffet went. There, and to one of the soup kitchens operated by the Order of Bedard. And there's another thing that pisses me off, he reflected. If any of the other original archangels was Langhorne's enabler, it was Bedard. And, I know it's stupid, damn it, but I'd really prefer for her order to be as sick and twisted as the Order of Schuller, and it's not. Not anymore, anyway. Why can't the original villains of the piece still be the villains? I believe Marlis has kept her schedule clear for you this evening, Ibrahim. Angelic told him with a smile, and he smiled back. Actually, he said quietly, turning to survey the all-but-deserted sitting room, charming as Marlis is, and as much as I've enjoyed her company, I came to speak with you tonight. Ah? She cocked an eyebrow at him, and he smiled faintly. I'm not sure. His expression was that of a man exchanging inconsequential small talk with his beautiful hostess. But I think time is running out. He met her eyes for a moment, then looked back out across the room. Yes, I'm afraid it is. She smiled up at him, obviously amused by whatever he'd just said, but her soft voice was ineffably sad.
"I'd hoped I could get a few more people out," she went on. "Unfortunately, I can't. There's no time."
"No?" It was his turn to raise an eyebrow, and she shook her head.
"I have a source inside the Inquisition. Clintan is moving tomorrow."
"Against you?" Despite himself, despite even the fact that he was a Pika and not a creature of flesh and blood, Merlin couldn't quite keep the concern out of his voice and eyes.
"I don't think so," she replied. "Not immediately, at any rate. But when he starts putting people to the question..."
She let her voice trail off, and he nodded slightly, but his thoughts were racing. Unlike Angelic, he had access to an entire network of weather satellites. He knew this evening's howling wind and plunging temperatures would ease somewhat over the next couple of days, but there was another winter storm coming behind the thaw, one which was going to be at least this bad.
"Is there some place here in the city where you can go to ground for a 5 day or two?"
"If I have to," she said, and then smiled faintly.
"Why, is one of those Sajan-like skills of yours telling you something I don't know, Abraham?"
"Something like that," he told her with an answering smile.
"The weather is going to be unusually severe for the next few days."
She looked the slightest bit skeptical, and he patted her hand with his free hand.
"Just trust me, Angelic. If we can avoid it, we don't want you or any of the others trying to travel."
She regarded him thoughtfully for a moment, then shrugged.
"It's going to take a day or so for me to get the actual movement out of the city organized anyway," she said. "And to be honest, it probably won't hurt to have a few more days to work with. Assuming I've been as successful as I think I have in building my bolt holes."
"I think you have," he assured her.
"Well,"
she looked around the sitting room for a moment, then shrugged again.
"I'll miss this place," she said almost wistfully. "I've accomplished at least a few useful things here. I only wish I hadn't failed so completely in the end."
"You haven't failed," he told her quietly. She looked back up at him, and he shook his head.
"Trust me, the group of four's days, the temple's days, are numbered. It's going to take longer than you or I would like, but it's going to happen. And people like you and Adarai Dinis are one of the reasons it is."
"But how many are going to die first, Abraham?" she asked sadly, her expression still that of a woman chatting idly with a favored guest.
"How many people are going to die first?"
"Too many," he said unflinchingly. "But it's not your doing or your fault, and there are going to be a lot fewer of them, thanks to you, than there would have been otherwise. So if you don't mind, instead of worrying about how completely you failed, let's just see about getting you and as many of those other people out of this alive as we can, all right?"